Father, we just come to you this morning, and there is something about that name. It's the name above all names. It's the name, Lord, it's in the name of Jesus is when mountains are moved. Lord, it's in the mighty name of Jesus when people get healed. It's in the name of Jesus that demons flee. Lord, we just praise you. We lift up that name today. Lord, we praise you and we honor you in that name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Is everybody doing all right this morning? Amen. I'm just blessed. I tell you, I really am. I'm blessed. I got 500,000 things to complain about. Really, I do. I have 500,000 things to complain about every day. But I choose not to. Amen? I choose to focus on what is right and what is true and what is real, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where I put my focus at. So this morning, especially at church, that's what I want to focus on this morning. I want to focus on Jesus this morning. Is that okay? Amen?
Amen.
I want to hear some amens out there this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that what we should focus on? Because there is 500,000 things in all of our lives that we could complain about. I'm telling you. I mean, there's just all kinds of things. You know, but I want to focus this morning on two things. I put this sermon together and it kind of come together and I'm thinking there's got to be more to it. So it's like almost a sermon series. And I'm not, I'm not much on sermon series. But sometimes it just kind of comes together where you just don't have enough time. And you guys wouldn't put up with it this morning probably if I continued on as much as I'd like to say. I thought about how the church should be on fire and how the church was always said that the church is on fire. They're on fire for what? We use that term all the time. On fire. I'm on fire for God. We see somebody and we say, man, that person's energetic and man, they're just always going and always doing. And that person's on fire for Jesus, right? And we used to sing songs like, you know, I remember how the fire fell, you know? The fire, you know? And we think about the fire and the church being on fire. You know, and I get to thinking about churches. All this things going on in this world that we're living in today where we see this battle going on right now, spiritual battle. And it's being revealed. We see it more now than ever. You know, I think there are three kinds of churches going right now. There's a dead and dried up, just waiting for dirt to be put on them. Number two, there's a church that's on fire, constantly trying to stay on the cutting edge of ways to tell people about Jesus. There's those churches. And then there's a third kind of church, the church that says they want to be on fire, but never quite get things right for that to happen. You know, an illustration that I read was there was a well-known man in a small town who professed to be an atheist. He wasn't a bad man. Everybody liked him. He just didn't believe in God. He was not interested in church, and there was only one in the area. But one day, the church building caught on fire, and the whole town ran toward it to help extinguish the flames, including this well-known atheist. And as he was running, someone said, "This is something new for you. The first time we've ever seen you running towards a church." And the man replied, "This is the first time I've ever seen the church on fire." It makes a difference how we as a church, how we are, how we act, who we are, and what the community sees in us.
Amen.
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 I think Ananias is a church that has a desire to reach out to the community, not afraid to try stuff new. Amen.
Amen.
We've been that way. But sometimes we get caught short of manpower to do it. That happens. I'm being honest with you this morning. Some people say that all we need is for growth is to have more people. That's how we grow. That's how we'll set the church on fire. And no, we really need some fire first. And then we'll see people converted. Amen?
Amen.
When you have a group of people on fire, it spreads. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you may ask why I say this. My message is really not about fire this morning. It's really about Jesus. Because without Him, there is no fire. You cannot be a church about Jesus and not be a church on fire. Because if you have Jesus in your heart, you'll be on fire. Dead churches don't talk about Jesus. They preach social gospel that let's just all get along. Let's not make any waves, and we want to be entertaining to everybody. That's what we want to be. Lively churches talk about Jesus, and they invite Jesus to make the changes in their lives. You know, the problem is we don't like change, because change means giving up something. Genesis 22, I was reading, and it says, you know, about Isaac, and he asked his father, Abraham, as he was about to be sacrificed, there's the wood, there's the fire, but where's the lamb? You know, we have everything that we need right here. We have the resources, we have the wood, we have the desire. But let me ask you this morning, do you have Jesus in your heart? Because without Jesus, that other stuff doesn't matter. It's about the Lamb. R.G. Lee wrote this in one of his books years ago. God never intended for the church to be a refrigerator in which to preserve perishable people. He intended it to be an incubator to which to hatch converts. I like that. Church, where's the fire today? Here at Ananias, we should be a hospital for sinners, not a rest home for saints. We should be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. Amen?
Amen.
In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, talking about Peter and John, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. The world is looking for some people who have been with Jesus. They need to see real, authentic, on fire Christians who have been with Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, have you been with Jesus? Have you taken time to climb up that mountain and spend time with God? Amen? If you're a Christian this morning, the name of Jesus is special to you. He is the Savior of your life. He paid a price that you cannot pay. Jesus loves you, and you know that He has a plan for you in your life, just like He does me. You think about the songs that we just sang this morning, Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. He's my Master, my Savior. He's my Jesus. The name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one of these days, that Jesus is Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction. It tells us what is right. It tells us what is wrong. It tells us how to get right, and it tells us how to stay right. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, we know, familiar, that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the lives of the believers, and people are filled with the Spirit. And as a result, you know, once fearful disciples now have the boldness to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. That does not happen in the name of any other. It doesn't happen with any other name, Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius or any of those other religions out there. It happens in the name of Jesus Christ, because Christ is the only way. And He is the only one that's alive today. That cannot be missed. We need the power of God working in our lives and in our church. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 says Peter speaking with, when confronted about healing a man in need. He said this, "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." If we're going to be a church on fire, we are going to have to spend some time with Jesus. There are some characteristics that we will have if we spend time with Jesus. Number one, if we have been with Jesus, we will be changed. Number one, people will not have to guess if we've been with Jesus. These ordinary men, fishermen, going about their own business, they were uneducated, untrained. They did not have a lot of influence nor power in themselves, but they transformed the lives of millions of people. How did they do that? Jesus changed their lives. Church, we should use the phrase, "I can show you better than I can tell you." Because our lives should match what we say. They didn't talk about it as much as they lived it out. 1 Corinthians 2:4 and 5, it says, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. Isn't that so good? It's not about earthly wisdom. You may think that you don't have what it takes to be a disciple, but let me tell you, God will give you all you need. It doesn't matter about what your degree is. It matters about what your level of spiritual growth in Jesus Christ is. The closer you are to Jesus and the more time you spend with Jesus, guess what? The more that's going to show. Number two, if you have been with Jesus, you will care for other people. You'll not be able to look at the people that are hurting the same way you did before. You'll want to make a difference. You'll want to help them. A lady by the name of Agnes was born in 1910 in Macedonia to an Albanian parents. And at the age of 18, she went to Calcutta, India, to teach in a school. They called Agnes the saint to the gutters, because she would go out into the highways, or she would go out into the alleyways and help the hurting people in the alleys, the poor and decrepit. We know her as Mother Teresa. Why was Mother Teresa so compelled? Because she'd been with Jesus. She'd been with Jesus. You'll never realize Jesus is your all in all until you know He's all you've got. Amen. Number three, if you've been with Jesus, you'll have godly boldness. The Sanhedrin questioned Peter there in verse 7 of Acts chapter 4, and says, "By what power, by what name have you done these?" He preached the gospel. He lets them know that Jesus, they crucified, is still alive and well. In your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own ability, you can't do it. You'll just get burnt out. Your fire will dwindle to a flickering flame, a small spark. And you'll eventually go out. In the Greek, in the name of means by the authority of. We do these things in the authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know that? We can be bold and courageous because we do not do it in our own power. The same way that a policeman says, stop in the name of the law, which I don't know if they still do that, but they used to do that. Because they have the authority behind them that is more than just them. Jesus taught His disciples and He teaches us that we can do things far more than our ability. Because we have the authority of God behind us. That's what it means to be with Jesus. It's what it means to have Jesus in your life. Do you want to know why there is no other name but the name of Jesus? Because God said so. It is that simple. It really is that simple. Because no other name is there for healing, and no other name is there for life, and no other name there is for salvation, and no other name is there for restoration. There is no other name for comfort and hope and forgiveness and peace and protection and truth. In His name is enough, in the name of Jesus, in the authority of God. If you are a child of God this morning, you have that. Galatians 6:9 says, let's not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. In Romans 8:31 it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Remember this morning, church. Jesus is all we need. Amen? Amen. Jesus is all we need. A man by the name of Martin Luther, you may have heard of him, once had a dream where he was in a house and he saw Jesus coming up the walk towards his door. Luther examined his surroundings and realized that everything was an absolute mess. There was clothes thrown everywhere and furniture out of place. The old food was sitting out. Sounds familiar, huh? Trash was everywhere, and he thought, how am I going to let the Lord of my life, Jesus Christ, come into a mess like this? And he hurriedly tried to straighten it up, but he just didn't have enough time to clean up the mess. And finally, Jesus was knocking at the door, and Luther resigned himself to the mess. And as he opened the door, he said, Jesus, come on in. If you think that you can come into a place like this. And as he turned, he saw that everything had been put into order. Everything in its proper place, his house was immaculate as Christ entered in. We make such a mess of our lives sometimes, and we try to straighten it up before we let Jesus in, and we can't do that because we need Jesus to straighten it up for us. And when He comes into your life, He straightens it up. He cleans it out. Amen. We need to submit to Jesus. We need to open up our hearts to Him. And He makes us new creations. He makes us new. He changes us. He gives us that desire so that we can be a church on fire. Amen. We can try to fix things ourselves, but Jesus is the only one who can change those things. You just submit yourself to Jesus, your life will be changed. Your life will be filled with compassion. Your life will be filled by His Spirit and will be make you courageous. Men and women, I say, all of us together. Verse 7 there again, it says, by what power or by what name do you do this? And Peter, filled with the Spirit, he said, by the name of Jesus Christ, the one that you crucified. He is alive. you and I filled with the Spirit. That's how we change the community. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's how we change a community. That's how we show Christ to everyone here. That's how we set revival. That's how we set churches on fire. Amen. That's how fire spreads. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. That's what the world needs to hear today. Ordinary men and women that have been with Jesus is all it takes. It doesn't take doctors and lawyers and politicians especially. They don't solve the problems. It just takes ordinary men and women who have been with Jesus to change the world. And that's us. I'll tell you, that's me. I'm just an ordinary guy. Untrained. Here I am. All I want to do is be with Jesus. Amen. That's all. I just want to show the world Jesus. That's it. And I know right now we have come to a point in our society that we're seeing a move from a Christian nation to a divided nation on a lot of things. I said it a few weeks ago that it's the first time I ever saw on the news where the Satanic Church was put in equal authority to the Christian Church. I see this happening in our schools, and you know, there's a board meeting, I guess, tomorrow night at the school that's they're changing things in our society that goes against what we believe. Church, we are going to have to make a choice. And I'm on. We got to make a choice personally too. Which side are you on? Are you for Christ or are you against Christ? There's no middle line. You're either for Him or against Him. There's no middle line. You either walk with Christ or you don't walk with Christ.
Amen.
And as this nation and as these things happen, which is exciting because I know we're one step closer to Christ's return.
Yes.
One step closer to the rapture happening. Amen?
Amen.
My hope is in Jesus Christ. It's not in this world and the things going on in this world, but we have to live here. And He says, if you love Me, you'll be hated by the world. And let me tell you, church, if we're a church on fire, the world will not like us.
Amen.
Sometimes we have to make a stand, and it depends on what side of the line you're on. That's what's important. What side are you on this morning? Are you on the side of Christ?
On the other side of Jesus.
This line has been drawn in the sand. And it cannot be ignored any longer. A church not on fire will just be ignored. But a church on fire will be noticed. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I call upon Your name, the name above all names, right now this morning. Lord, I know I'm not always where I need to be. Lord, I just pray that You guide and direct me where I need to be. Lord, I want to be closer to You. I want to spend more time with You. Lord, I pray for this church, Lord, that we become a church that's on fire for You, that we stand with You, not against You, that we're on Your side, Lord. We're speaking boldness. Courageously for You. Not separated. Lord, let us be that church on fire. Set this church on fire with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you this morning. We give our lives to you fully. Lord, let us be servants to this community and show you in all that we do. Guide and direct us and keep us safe as we leave here today. Lord, and I always pray if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't accepted you in their life, that they receive you now. They can receive you. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. The scripture says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The altars are always open for prayer. I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.